In an age of video games, from giant TVs to handheld devices, you have to stop and wonder if anybody plays chess anymore. Anybody young, that is. The answer is a resounding yes, and it is played very well by the members of the Coquille Chess Club from the small town that is also the Coos County seat. The chess club brings in trophies by the truckload, it seems. How did a chess club from such a small town meet with such big success? That's one of the questions we'll put to Nancy Keller, who's the Coquille Chess Club coach. Welcome, Nancy.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Oh, you bet. Good to have you here today. And I think you have with you Aaron Grabinski, 17-year-old national master. Aaron, you there?
Yeah, hi.
Okay, and Joshua Grabinski, age 11, Class A player. Are you there too?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good to have you all here. Nancy, tell us a bit about the club and how it started and how many people you've got in it.
Well, the chess club actually was started by Lynn Kindred, a teacher at the elementary school here. And I had a young daughter that I put in the chess club, and when he retired, I all of a sudden got to take over. by default.
Uh-huh.
I've been at it for about 25 years and been having a lot of fun with this, giving an alternate sport for the kids to play. And then amazingly developed these two young men, or young chess players, that have really astounded me as that they could, someone from our area could play so well. We're getting into national and international tournaments now.
And so you've been to a couple of interesting places this year already. Let me just in general, though, is it any issue with finding people for the chess club in such a small community?
Well, I don't have much problems trying to find anybody. I just go there during lunch. I do have good bribery. I have a small candy for when they come, so they all want to come to chess. When I'm at the elementary school, I'll have anywhere between 30 to 60 kids, which is amazing at a small school. At the middle school and high school levels, the ones that stay interested will keep coming to chess club.
Is there a fair amount of weeding out, though, as people get older and start getting interested in the opposite sex and things like that?
And cars, and you have jobs. I lost my best girl chess player because she has had to start working this summer, and she's planning to go to college, and she's taking college-level classes, so... Yeah, there is some weeding out for that.
Okay. Aaron Grabinski, at 17 years old, national master. First of all, what does that mean, national master?
It means that I achieved a rating. It's just a number estimating your playing strength of 2,200.
But what does that mean? You could beat 2,200 other people, or there are 2,200 above you?
Well, you achieved like a level of 2,200. It's like a certain level.
Okay.
Yeah, let me just fill in a little bit.
Sure.
There's a rating score, and the highest level is around 27. What's 2860 is the highest rating that anyone has ever achieved so far. And when you get a rating, you play people higher than you, your rating goes up. If you lose to people below you, you lose points. And so you have to go to many tournaments to achieve a rating, and you have to beat pretty high-level players to get up there. So to get to a national master is 2,200. To get to a national master is 2,200. International master is 2,400. To get to a grand master is 2,500, and not very many people get that far.
So, Aaron, how much farther does it seem to go from national master to international master? Is that a tough couple of points to get to?
Yeah, it's a lot harder. It kind of gets exponentially more difficult the higher you get.
All right, so like five more points can be like, 25 more sweat points or something like that. It's that much harder.
Yeah, basically.
And then finding internationally rated tournaments is difficult. We had to go to Mexico to get the latest international master or international rating points, and we're going to Las Vegas in about a week and a half.
That's sort of like an international city. So, Aaron, to come back to you, how old were you when you started playing chess, and how did the interest develop for you?
I was 11, and I didn't really have much going on besides school. So my mom, I think she got me a DVD from the library on how to play chess. So I watched that, and then I played with my dad a lot. And then after a while, I got introduced to the chess club, and then I played other people there every Tuesday night. And I wasn't very good for, like, a long time, but then, I don't know, I just studied a lot and I got better. So.
How do you study for chess, particularly in a place where you're likely to run out of good people to play against?
I play online, like, every day.
Really?
Yeah.
This is like practicing the piano or football practice or something. Do you spend several hours a day at it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, like 3 to 4, so.
Wow, that is a lot of time spent doing that. Let's move on to Joshua Grubinski. You're 11 still, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, and how long have you been playing?
About the same number of years. I started when I was about 5.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of went off of my brother and my dad
and
after they started.
All right, so do you and Aaron still play each other at home?
Yeah, we play.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, that's good. So, I'm going to have to assume that Aaron wins most of the time. That must actually be a pretty good training format, guys. I'm thinking that you get to play each other without any real problems other than bragging rights within the walls of your own home. So, I mean, does that work pretty well for training each other?
Yeah. It trains Joshua more than it trains me.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And so Class A players where you've reached, Joshua, what does that mean?
Well, it's pretty much the same thing. I reached a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
And the level starts at 1,800. And I recently achieved that rating.
Okay, so both you guys got pretty good benchmarks to indicate where you are in the chess world. We're talking to Joshua Grubinski and Aaron Grubinski from the Coquille Chess Club and their coach, Nancy Keller. They've been making some trips, as you heard, to attend tournaments and improve their ratings and achieve some fairly significant positions in the chess world. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange if you'd like to visit with the Grubinskis and Nancy. 800-838-3760 around the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So, Nancy, how many different places have you taken the whole team or at least these two guys this year?
Well, I thought it would be fun to be taking I started a long time ago when airline tickets were cheap. I was my first trip was to Disney World in Florida with several elementary teams where it's really hard to pack trophies home on an airplane when we're talking about 2-3 feet tall.
Sure.
And so the kids, you know, I having these trips, they would work hard to get their skills up, and then we would have a lot of fun at these events. And then I let go for a little while because the airline tickets just kind of got out of sight for a while. But then these guys came along, and it's like, oh, I better start getting them to some big tournaments so that we can work on their ratings. And then we recently took the two boys and down to a major tournament in California, the Susan Polgar tournament. And Aaron actually won it, and by winning it, he got a 4-year scholarship to the Webster University and an invitation to the World Youth Championships in Greece.
Wow. That's exciting. Aaron, what is Webster University?
It's like a liberal arts school in St. Louis, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. And,
but they have a really good chess program where you can like play for their school against other teams and so on.
Can I assume you took the scholarship?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's going to happen. And are you just entering your senior year, or did you just graduate?
I'm just entering it.
Okay, so a little while left to think about this. And so that wasn't the only place you went, Nancy. Where else did you guys travel this year?
Well, we went to Mexico for the North American Championships. And Joshua actually suddenly came out of the shadows and tied for first place in the under-12 category and won a candidate master international title.
Wow. That's impressive stuff. So for either of you guys, Aaron, particularly for you, you mentioned that you did play against your dad a fair amount. Has he stopped playing you because you just beat his brains in all the time?
Yeah, I haven't played him for like 4 years.
And it's pretty humiliating when I have to play him.
Really? How good did you get in your own playing days, Nancy? I mean, not that your playing days are over.
Oh, I got up to a 1,400, so I'm considered a Class C player.
Oh, well, Class C. So Class A is a good. Does it go bigger than A? I mean, does it get to double A, that sort of thing?
You got A, then you have Expert, then you have Master, FIDE Master, International Master, and then Grandmaster.
Okay. So Aaron, that means you're like two stops short of Grandmaster at this point, or three?
Three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you foresee for the future of the program? First of all, how many people are in this chess club total, Nancy?
I have the I had the Fantastic Four, which were the main ones to go to the big events. This weekend, I'm taking about five players to Newport. Las Vegas is three. Those are my main players that are really good. But when I go to state championships, I'll have teams of five or six. I have elementary, I have middle school, I have high school. And then I hold local chess tournaments. I've got one at Laverne Park scheduled on the 27th, and I'll get about 20 to 50 kids. At the chess club, people can dabble. I got the ones that just kind of play for fun, and then I have the ones that will be on the team for me, and then I have the strong ones who I take to the big events.
Wow, that's a lot of maneuvering parts to try to, not just the chess pieces themselves, but the people and their luggage and all the other stuff. And how do you afford to take guys to like to Toluca, Mexico, for example?
Well, we have candy bar sales, and these guys are really good at sitting out in front of McKay's and selling candy bars. And I have candy bars sitting on my desk at the clinic that I work at, and my diabetics love to support the chess club. I kind of fund it. I have a nonprofit organization, and then this is my where I like to put my money into, because it's for kids. And it's a major kid event, and the parents can pay what they can afford, and then I kind of supplement the rest of it.
You had mentioned thinking of this as a sport. I mean, something else for kids to do. Tell me about that
a bit. Because it is competitive. You got to go. You know, we have high school teams playing against each other. We're trying to get something set up in the southern area because there's so much traveling involved that we're actually going to be able to, hopefully next year, have teams playing teams, high school teams, via the computer. You sit in the library, have everyone sitting down and playing on the computer. The computer adds an element of accidentally dropping a piece because you put it on the wrong square with the mouse being buzzy. But it's a sport. It has sportsmanship involved. We do have teams, so there's got teamwork involved and working hard to get to a goal of beating out the rest of the teams in the state. So it's just a brainy sport. And there's other things like Mathletics and Battle of the Books and Knowledge Bowl that I think lack the recognition, but is a very good sport for the kids.
Is it any challenge to get people out there? Or is it one of those things where, oh, if we knew this had existed, we would have been here a long time ago?
It's a challenge because, it's kind of considered geeky. I mean, I remember the Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode where everyone's living a nightmare and one of the cheerleaders is being pulled into the chess club room. screaming the whole way. So trying to get people to enjoy it, I think we're getting it pretty well here that, it's not just for the withdrawn people, it's for everybody.
We're talking to the coach of the Coquiel Chess Club, Nancy Keller, and two of her best players, Aaron Grabinski, age 17, national master, Joshua Grabinski, age 11, class A player. 800-838-3760 by phone if you'd like to join us, or jx@jeffnet.org. Aaron, talk about that part of stuff that Nancy was just talking about, where there's the perception of the chess club guys as geeks. What's that been like for you in high school?
I don't really interact a whole lot with my high school because I'm homeschooled.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm not sure, if I'm considered a geek or not. I don't really notice or really care.
I kind of understand that. Aaron, that's Joshua I want to talk to now because you're the one who started competition more recently. What's it like? I mean, what's the pressure like when you're sitting there in a room you don't know, in a town you don't know, and facing an opponent you don't know, and having to do your best at what you're doing?
Well, yeah, I just try and do my best, and it turned out pretty good the last tournament.
Mm-hmm. And have there been some moments that are seared in your brain forever, things that you'll never forget about your chess experience even thus far?
Let's see.
Well, tell me about Toluca. That was that where there was the speed chess thing going on I was reading about?
Yeah, there was a speed chess tournament also.
Okay, so how does speed chess work versus regular chess?
Well, you just have a lot less time. Like, because you have a certain amount of minutes to make all your moves.
Uh-huh. And is it just like, you know, you move, he moves, you move, he moves, just over and over again?
Well, there's a clock, and you have to hit the clock, and that determines your move is over.
Mm-hmm. And so what's the maximum amount of time you get to make a move in speed chess?
Well, you can use, it's for the whole game, and you have about 3 minutes. But every time you move, it adds 2 seconds.
Okay. Sounds like a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Grabinski, I'm guessing you play both slow and fast chess. Which do you prefer?
Well, it kind of depends. Sometimes I do well in slow chess and not so well in fast chess. And sometimes I do better in speed chess, so I don't really know.
Has chess helped you in other studies and understanding other pursuits and other subject matters? I mean, I know that there are people who talk about understanding math better through chess, or they understand science and the organization of molecules and things like that. I mean, has it opened up other vistas for you in your studies?
Well, I usually do pretty well in, like, math and science. I'm not sure. Maybe there's a correlation between chess. I just don't notice it so much, but it's probably there.
Uh-huh.
Well, there are studies that do show that it improves science and math scores between 10 to 17%.
All right. So do you teach as well, Nancy?
No, I'm a physician.
Oh, physician. Okay. When you mentioned your practice, okay. I caught the part about
a day job.
I caught the part about the candy bars and the diabetics. I hope they appreciate that was, in fact, a joke.
Yeah.
So, wow, how do you find the time then? I mean, physicians tend to be kind of busy.
Yep. Well, I had to back off a little bit on my practice. I quit delivering babies, and I quit the emergency room and stayed down just to a clinical practice because I'm having a lot of fun seeing these kids, see how far they get, and traveling with them. These guys are beyond me. I'm not doing any teaching. I'm just giving them opportunities at this point.
That was a big question, was as their coach, what could you possibly do when it sounds like they have zoomed beyond you?
So, I can hit the easy players. I mean, I have a lot of people who come and try it out, and I can teach them how to checkmate with king and rook, how to checkmate with queen and rook, how to do skewers and other tactics. But then when they get up to about 1,000, then it's just I play them a lot, and then they get beyond me, which is it's a mixed feeling when you get beaten by the kid that you're teaching.
Uh-huh.
You go, darn, I lost, but darn, they're good, they won, they're getting better.
I lost, but I'm so proud as your coach, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, definitely mixed feelings. What do you see for the future of the chess club? I mean, is it going to be around for years to come, you think?
I'm going to be, as long as I'm around, I guess. And I did put in my will some money to have aside to help out keeping chess going after I go. But I would like to see chess thrive, and I'm starting to see it. We finally, Reed Sports got a high school team. Coos Bay finally got their chess team going again. North Bend built a team, and we're starting to hear from Klamath Falls, and we're hearing South Umpqua. And as I said, we're going to be starting some high school team events down here, and I hope to see it spread.
Have they been dormant for just a few years because of budget cuts, or has it been longer than that?
Well, no one budgets in chess.
Of course.
So chess has, it's basically from someone who's really excited, really motivated, and willing to put in the time and the money to put in a chess club. And Oregon is very behind the rest of the United States. You go to California, and you got these huge amounts of high-level players. And Oregon's got their first national master and scholastic national master in decades. I wish I had records to tell you if there's ever been a scholastic national master in Oregon.
Really? So Aaron might actually be the first?
No, a few years ago there was another one.
Was there? Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, Aaron, for you, I mean, so many people, and I had teenage boys in my house until not very long ago, everybody wants to play Xbox or PlayStation all the time. Do you ever get into that?
No, I've never done that before.
Really? Lack of interest or just not available in the house, or what's the story?
I'd rather play chess.
Huh. And Joshua, what about for you? You probably go to friends' houses and they have Xbox or something.
Well, since we're homeschooled, we don't have that many friends. So we usually stick around home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they have plenty of friends. They find them at the chess club for sure.
No doubt, no doubt.
They're very easy to make friends with. These are really nice kids to have, and everyone likes to be with them at the chess club.
Mm-hmm. And so, Joshua, what's the next level you can get to?
Probably the expert.
Mm-hmm.
That's next after Class A player.
How many points away is that?
It's quite a few because I just got Class A player.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 1880 now.
1820. Mm-hmm. It's about 180 points. If I do well in a couple of tournaments, I go up pretty fast.
Okay. It sounds like it's still a lot of fun for you.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. What's the thing you get most out of chess?
Well, I really like the challenge of who's gonna win and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. It really is a challenge. And so, Nancy, it sounds like you have quite a flock of interesting people there in your Coquille Chess Club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're talking about long games, you're talking 5 hours.
Really?
Yeah. These kids will sit there for 5 hours.
Aaron, how do you stay focused over the course of a 5-hour match?
Chess is interesting for me, I constantly have to be thinking, about how to win and how the game goes. It's fun. You don't really think about it as being so long.
True. I guess it is just a competition. Now, we're talking about chess with the Coquille Chess Club. Nancy Keller's the coach. Aaron Grabinski's a national master at 17. Joshua Grabinski, Class A player at age 11, and we wish you guys the best of luck in your future matches.
Well, thank you for having us.
All right, it's good to talk to you.